It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's a nice Monday, February 18th, 2019, for the podcasters. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. Hope you want to give me a call. We have five open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M. And carm.org, Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. And you're listening to Matt Slick Live. I am the founder of carm.org, started it 23 years ago. I'm a Christian apologist, defend the Christian faith, and hopefully do it for the glory of God. So look, if you want, like I said, give me a call, 877-207-2276. Love to hear from you. And by way of reminder, we could use your support. All you got to do is go to the CARM site. On the right-hand side, you'll see a donate button. And if you want it for the radio show to see it continue, well, yeah, that would be appreciated. Because it does cost for us to keep it on the air. And if you don't mind, you can consider helping us out. We don't ask very much. And that would be great. We also have a wish list. And what I'm going to be doing pretty quickly here is putting up a request for help for our Spanish division. I spent a half hour, 45 minutes on the phone with Carlos from Bogota, actually from Barranquilla. He moved and got to practice my Spanish for a while. And the computer he has is like 7 years old and doesn't even really work anymore. So we need to get another one. And he does all the translations into Spanish. And he's a great guy. I've been down there and taught at Barranquilla about a year and a half ago. And so I want to get down there again. And he's been meeting with pastors, teaching them apologetics. He's doing a great job. And, of course, we have the Spanish site, miapeak.com, Ministerio Apologeticas y Cristianas, and .com. And so praise God. I also spent time on the phone with a guy in Mexico, Alejandro. Got to practice my Spanish with him as well. It was great. And some stuff's going on there with the Spanish site. So good stuff. And if you can pray about that. So I'll be putting up a computer and stuff, maybe doing a GoFundMe in order to get another computer for Carlos. We do give him one about every 5 years. He's been working with us for 12 years now. And he's a great guy. Anyway, so there you go. Let's just jump on the phones. Let's get to James from Wake Forest, North Carolina. James, welcome to the show. Oh, let me hit the button. Got to do that, don't I? All right, James, there we go, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, Matt. I like to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses when I see them out, and I'll go up and ask for their testimony, and they'll give them my testimony, and then we get into Scripture.
Good.
And I don't have a good explanation for 1 Corinthians 15:28 when they say that Jesus can't be God because he's subject to God in that verse. Mm-hmm. And I tried to explain his humanity and divinity at the same time, but I'm not doing a very good job at that.
Two things. He was made under the law, and that's Galatians 4:4. So he had to cooperate with the limitations of being a man, Philippians 2:5-8, and he will forever be a man. You need to teach them that because they deny that he's a man right now. They say he became Michael the Archangel, and there's a problem there. So just tell him it's because he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek who lives forever to make intercession for people. And so you go to Hebrews 6:20 and 7:25 for that. So that's you just tackle it doctrinally. You give him the verses, Hebrews 6:20, Hebrews 7:25, and Galatians 4:4. And Galatians 4:4 again, made under the law, and Philippians 2:5-8, he was cooperating with the limitations of being a man. Now he is still a man, 1 Timothy 2:5 and Colossians 2:9, and so those are the verses that you all, those are all you need to be able to discuss that issue.
Okay.
Now there's a logic. Ask them: is a wife subject to her husband? And their answer is going to be, well, yes. does it mean then that she's not a human being if she's in subjection to her husband? No. Then what makes you think that Jesus, who's in subjection to the Father, is not divine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Being in subjection to someone doesn't mean you're not in the same nature. So, in the military, a private is subject to a general. Doesn't mean he's not a human being. So subjection does not mean he's not divine. And they'll say, well, he's God. God wouldn't be subject to anybody. Well, wait a minute. Show me in the scriptures that statement. Show me in the scriptures where it says Jesus can't be God because he's in subjection of the Father since he's made under the law. Show me in the Word of God. If you can't say it, show it to me. Stop saying it. Okay.
Okay.
That helps.
All right. Well, I will study up and then go out there armed afresh. Then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, let me give you something else, okay?
All right.
You got you there? First Corinthians 1:2. Okay, it's a very important verse. You really should look at this. And you could go to CARM. I have an article on this. It's worth looking at.
1 Corinthians 1:2.
1:2. And what you need is to memorize the location of two other verses. Psalm 116:4. Okay? Psalm 116:4. And Zechariah 13:9. Okay? Psalm 116:4 says this. Then I called upon the name of the Lord, or I called upon the name of Yahweh. Yahweh, I beseech you, save my life. So that phrase, call upon the name of Yahweh, or the Lord, is prayer. And they'll go, yeah, okay.
Right.
And if you go to Zechariah 13:9, it says, I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them, etc. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. So the call upon the name of the Lord is prayer. Now, that phrase, call upon the name of Jehovah, or Yahweh, that's what it is in Hebrew, capital L-O-R-D, okay? It's his name. And in their Bibles, it's going to say, call upon the name of Jehovah. Now, do you know what the Septuagint is?
Yes, yes.
Okay. When the Jews translated...
The LXX.
Yes. Yeah. When the Jews translated the Hebrew into the Greek, that's called the Septuagint. They did it about 250 B.C. They took that phrase, call upon the name of Jehovah, they translated the phrase into call upon the name of the Lord. That phrase, call upon the name of the Lord, is used of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:2. Saints by calling who, with everyone, every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus. Why would Paul use a phrase that designates prayer and worship adoration to God only and apply to Jesus? You ask him that question.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get back to you on that.
Good.
I'll be back next week.
That's a good point. That's a major point there, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. They can't answer it. Okay? All right?
Okay, Matt. Thanks.
You're welcome, man. God bless, buddy. Okay, that was James. Let's get to Jack from Salem, Oregon. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I called in last week and was asking you about apostasy, and you had directed me to your website. However, that was not my question.
Okay.
I mean, I do have a question about apostasy, but what it is about brothers in the Lord who are pointing out apostate doctrine and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know whether or not I should name the name of the website that I was following on air. And so I kind of balked at the way I was describing the situation. And so, again, I'm calling back to see if you are familiar with this brother in the Lord who's denouncing apostate churches.
What's his name?
I don't know his name, but the name of the website is called Servus Christus. And if you look it up, if you just do a Google, Yahoo search, not a Yahoo, excuse me, YouTube search, and you just type in apostate report, he comes up. His website comes up, but he talks about people that I've revered in the church as godly men, and now he's saying that something to the effect of guilt by association. And that's got me wondering if the guy is really following. I mean, when you listen to him, it sounds based on biblical principles. These are true statements.
Tell you what, I'll do a little bit of research on him. Okay. And I've seen. I got the info now. I'll put him on a list of things to do, and we will see. You know, I'll look.
I know there his first name is. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was going to say there are several, so to speak, ministries who go after others, and in fact, one of them calls me a complete heretic. There's more than one that calls me a complete heretic because I'm Reformed, and then when I read the material, what they say Reformed theology is they misrepresent it. They don't even understand it. And I've challenged them to discussions. They don't want anything to do with that. They only want to sit behind closed doors and then accuse. There's a lot of people like that, and you got to be careful of ministries that will, so-called ministries that will do that kind of a thing where they just accuse, and they don't want to have discussions. They don't want to have debates. They don't want to, you know, talk about things. So I don't know if this guy is like that or this group or is good or bad, but you know, I can check it out and see.
That's why I was calling you. Okay. I mean, you're a little bit. No, excuse me, I stand corrected. You're a lot bit more learned than I.
Okay, so, well, praise God. But
and I depend on people that I think are biblically sound, but then to hear, I mean, he makes an accusation about the fall of Calvary Chapel, you know? And there's, I know that there's good and bad ministers in every church, but...
Okay. I tell you what. I'll check him out. Okay.
And I do know his first name is Josh. That's it.
Okay.
But it comes up, Service Christi.
I'll check him out.
I don't know.
I got the information, and I'll check.
All right. Fabulous.
Okay.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Okay, man.
God.
Thanks. God bless.
All right. All right. Bye now.
Okay. Bye. It was Jack from Salem, Oregon. I will check that out. Oh, I need a T-shirt that says "So much heresy, so little time." All right, let's get to John from Virginia. We lost John. Let me close that off. Let's get to Cody from Alberta, Canada. Hey, Cody, welcome to the show.
Hi there. How's it going?
It's going, man. How are you?
Really good. Thanks. I watch your show a lot.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that.
Well, just like a bit of reason why I'm calling, just because I was in jail for a while. Like, I'm only 22 and that's where I got really acquainted with the Bible, and I was able to have hours and hours of reading every day, right? Because I had nothing but time. So I got really acquainted with certain verses, and I learned, well, of course, this particularly has to do with homosexuality, but also female pastors and predestination and some things that a lot of people don't want to hear, right? Yeah. But anyway, so then once I got out, I was kind of looking around my area for a church to go to, and I walked into the...
We're going to break coming up. Okay, hold on. We got a break coming up. I want to hear what you had to say.
Yeah.
So we'll put you on hold. Be right back, okay? After these messages, folks, please stay tuned, and we'll continue to talk to Tony. Listen to Maslick Live. Be right back after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, welcome back to Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. Let's get right back to Cody from Alberta, Canada. Hey, Cody, welcome to the show.
Hey.
All right.
So like I was saying, so when I was in prison, it was...
You got to speak up. Okay.
When I was in prison, it was pretty secluded, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, things in there really go well, like being saved by grace alone, right? Because a lot of people, you know, have been doing bad things. Anyway, though, so what I mean, though, is that after I got out, though, I went and I found myself in a United Church where it was a woman pastor, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, this isn't what I read, right? Mm-hmm. And And I thought it was strange because I actually researched the Puritans while I was in there, and she was wearing like a surplus and different things like that. So right off the bat, it was very strange. And then she went and said the Our Father, but she said Our Mother and Father, which I'm sure you've heard before.
Crud. Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, I know, and that's what I mean. Like, as soon as I got out, this is the first.
Just get out of there.
Well, I'm not going there for sure anymore. Good. But what I mean, though, like, that was the first time. But after that, I had talked to her after, and I had scheduled a time mm-hmm. to talk to her in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I know the Bible. I consider that I know the Bible generally pretty well. And so I just talked to her. And one of the main things, though, that we talked about, I didn't bring up the female pastor thing. We just talked about homosexuality specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said was that she believes that the Bible's outdated. And that, I know, it blew my mind.
Yeah, she's a false teacher. She's a false teacher. And
absolutely. But it's pretty plain to see. So I'll just get kind of to the idea, though, because recently I created a Facebook page for my own apologetics ministry, because I go to Jehovah's Witnesses and
you have a question, discussion with Cody? Them. Cody, you have a question?
Yeah, it's just, how should I manage myself? Because she commented on one of my posts.
I don't understand the question. I don't understand the question. How do you manage yourself? I don't understand.
Well, should I go and talk to her, or should I rebuke her? And I
thought you already did. So I'm kind of curious.
No, but I mean, like, since then, because she commented on one of my posts, right? So should I openly, put her to shame?
If you have an open door to talk to her, I go witness to her and give her the gospel.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have an opportunity to witness to a female pastor who's pro-homosexual, who thinks the Bible's outdated, obviously she's a false convert. It would certainly seem as the case. And she probably needs, she needs the gospel message, needs to repent. So if you have an opportunity to witness to her, go for it. Just get your stuff together and do that, you know, and you'll be kicked out of the church, probably. I have been for asking a pastor if he was saved at the United Methodist Church, Southern California. It happened to me. But, you know, just ask. Bible's outdated. Women pastors are unbiblical. Homosexuality is a sin. It doesn't mean we don't want them in our churches. Of course we do. We want them to hear the gospel. But, you know, you've got to ask these questions. But just give her the scriptures. But she doesn't believe the Word of God because it's outdated. So she's judging truth by her feelings. Mm. So she's apostate and a false teacher. Okay.
Mm. So I'm. All right. So you think that I should just leave it in a way?
Well, I don't know. If you feel like you should leave it, then leave it. If you don't, then talk to her. If you have an opportunity to share the truth with her and share the gospel, then do so. You know, and nothing wrong with, you know, let's meet again and talk. And you ask me questions and you say, could you please tell me what the gospel is that saves us from our sins? See what she says. And then you have it ready to prepare for her what the real gospel is, trusting in Christ. And forget the issue of women pastors and elders and homosexuality and all that kind of stuff, the liberal idiocy. Just get her straight to that gospel, because that's what has to happen. She needs a regeneration of Christ upon her, and let Christ work within her. That's the most important thing. All right?
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, man. God bless, Cody.
God bless.
All right.
Have a great
day. Oh, I cut him off there. You too. Have a good day. The United Church of Canada, it's as bad as the United Methodist Church here in America. They're bad. Anyway, let's get to John from Midwest, wherever that is. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
What you got, man?
There's a lady at our church that I met recently. She's into something that's called muscle testing and nutritional energy testing. She takes supplements, but to determine how much she needs and what kind she wants to take, she holds the supplement, closes her eyes, and asks herself whether she needs it first. And then she gets a lean on her body, and then she asks herself a series of leading or further yes or no questions to see how much she needs. What does that sound like to you?
Oh, it's occult mysticism.
That was my take on it too. Yeah. And she says, no, I'm just asking my body what I need, and so I'm just speaking to my body.
Yeah. Yeah, she's into mysticism and it's occultic stuff. Let me ask my body something. Hey, buddy.
Yes.
Should I eat a hamburger?
Yes.
Eat the hamburger. Oh, thank you. I mean, she what?
Well, and that's the one thing I kept saying. Well, who are you asking the question to? Because you know, we don't ask stairs questions. We don't ask rocks
right.
questions. We ask persons and people questions. And something is being asked the question. And then I also said, go ahead.
Yeah, you need to go to the elders of the church, all right, and talk to them about it. You're not, like, trying to get her in trouble. They just need to know that she's into this kind of mystical kind of stuff, and, you know, doesn't mean they're going to get mad at her or anything, but, then she should not be allowed to teach Bible studies or be in anything leadership-wise, things like that because of it. And then what you do is you just try and witness the truth to her. And
right. You know, do you have any good scripture that refutes this?
On that? You know, no, not on that particular
yeah.
thing. No, it's, right. you know, talking to your own body. You know, nothing in the Bible says, hey, thou shalt not talk to your own body and look for answers. She's, there's problems with what she's saying and doing, of course, and there's subjectivity to it.
Right.
She's opening herself up to...
I was wondering if it goes down a path of, you know, divination, right? Trying to uncover that which is secret, you know, by
using
verses that are against divination.
Yeah, she's opening herself up to the occult in that process. So,
right.
It's an occultic, mystical kind of process or thing. And not to say that she's into all of that. It just might be that someone, you know, said it in a certain way. She's taken it a certain way. So be careful and be gentle and patient. And
right.
and try and just get her to, to see the truth.
Right,
know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well. You kind of just confirmed my own thinking on it, so
good.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
You too, man. God bless. All right, that was John from the Midwest. Let's get over to Manuel from Florida. Manuel, welcome to Matchlick Live. Oops, there's a break.
Oh.
Sorry about that, man. Hey, hold on. We'll be right back, okay? Folks, hold on. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about right after the messages, so please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show, Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, well, you can't right now because all the lines are filled. So let's just get to Manuel from Florida. Hey, Manuel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for coming to the call. And,
sure.
I just have a question that really stumbled my mind for a little bit.
Okay.
So I have this person that I've been talking to him about Christ, but my first question was, did he believe in God? And he said, yeah, I do believe in God, man. But I deny the existence of hell and heaven. For this reason is because, what about the Native Americans and people who haven't heard about Christ? It wouldn't be fair if God would just say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, because they haven't heard anything from him. From the gospel, basically, and he believes that hell was actually invented to make people go to church, or what? Just it's a lie.
So
but he's a theist.
Yeah, he's lost, and this kind of stuff in theism is useless. He believes in God, okay, and you can start at step one, believe in God, and you can ask him which God. And if he doesn't understand even what God he's discussing or believing in, then how does he know his God exists? He says, I believe in God. Okay, what is it? I don't know. Well, how do you know? Do you believe in God? Well, I just believe there's something. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And so what you can do is you can gradually question him. You don't want to be too confrontational, but you want to be able to cross-examine his position. and theism. Let me give you an example of what's going on theologically. You see, atheism, no God. Deism says there's a God, but he's not involved in the world. Theism says there's a God, he is involved in the world. That's what theism is. So you ask him, if you're a theist, that means you believe that God works in the world, yes. Can you show me instances? And if he gives you anything, how do you know it's from your God? Not the God, but your God, because you don't know if your God that you believe in is the God of the universe. And how would you know? You know, because he believes it? If he believes it, it doesn't make it so. And so there's ways to just dismantle a theist's position by just questioning. It's one of the problems with theism is they just posit some God that they subjectively affirm and can't defend. They say, well, he's got to be out there someplace because, you know, we didn't evolve. We had to be out there, okay? He had to be out there. Do you know what he's like? Do you know what he believes in? Do you know what he wants from you? Well, I don't believe in this and that. Okay, well, why don't you believe in this or that? Well, I just don't believe that God would send anybody to hell. Oh, so in other words, and you could ask a question. So I do this with people. I'll say, let me ask you, are you interested in what the truth might be, even if you don't like it? Or would you prefer a truth that you want it to be? In other words, are they wanting what's real or are they wanting what they feel? And so this is what you got to do. You got to ask them these kind of questions. And usually what it comes down to is that people don't like what God represents. They want to judge God. They want to be the one in place to say what is true and what is false, what is fair and what is not fair. And if you cross-examine them and just ask questions about what it is they believe, then it doesn't take very long for their, let's just say, for their worldview to come crashing down. And it will crash down. Just cross-examine it. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does that help any?
No, that would be all.
Okay. But it does help? Or you have any other questions about that? Because I gave you a lot of information. I don't know if that kind of sunk in because, well, you know, it's new, maybe, and how to respond and stuff, so.
He just, like, I don't know, he just wanted, I guess he wants some sort of, explanation of heaven and hell.
What's that?
He has doubts on it.
Yeah, doubts on heaven and hell? Say, okay, you have doubts on heaven and hell. But Jesus, who claimed to be God in flesh, who walked on water, said there was a heaven and a hell. I mean, I'm going to trust what he said. You know, you just, that's what I do with people. And I'll have these discussions with theists and deists. And, you know, they give me whatever it is. And I'll say, well, it just only comes down to their subjective opinion. That's always what it comes down to. If it's their subjective opinion, how do they know their subjective opinion is true? They don't. And they don't have the right to impose a view on anybody else. And so what I'll do is I'll just say, look, you know, Jesus said, and just quote Christ, quote him. You know what Jesus said. And they don't have anything to compare. And what you want to do is plant seeds so that they can see, hopefully, that their theism does not make any sense. And ultimately, it's basically useless. It's just a religion of convenience and personal preference. That's what theism is. For most people. All right?
Oh, okay.
Does that help, man?
Yeah, that helped a lot.
All right, buddy. Well, God bless. Give it a shot and see. Pray and trust God. Ask for open doors to witness and point them to Christ, ultimately. Show them that their view doesn't make any sense, can't be defended, and then give them Jesus. Okay?
Okay, man.
All right, man.
All right, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. God bless. All right, that was Manuel from Florida. Let's get over to Dave from Ontario, Canada. Dave, welcome to Matchlook Live. Are you there, Dave? Dave's not here. Dave, this gave away my age.
Hello.
Hey, Dave. How are you, buddy?
Good, yourself?
Hanging in there, man. What do you got?
Just kind of a quick question. Just have a question.
Yeah. Your question? Are you there?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going.
Come on, what's just your, wondering, what's your, yeah. My question is, my Pentecostal.
Maybe man, the, okay, I think the phone connection isn't working, because I hear you, then nothing, and so I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, so stay in one place, I can hear you. Say one place, speak loudly, clearly, and let's see if it'll work this time, okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Matt, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Okay. Perfect.
Okay, a quick question for you. I have a Pentecostal minister who says do they believe in faith and works for salvation?
You're asking me or asking him?
Asking you.
It depends on the group.
He says that. Okay.
What does this particular guy say?
Well, he just says that that's what he says. It's faith and works, and I just didn't know if the Pentecostals, if that's what they believe.
So
for salvation.
So yeah, okay. For salvation, then you need to witness to him, and if you know, just remember this: Romans 4, okay. And hold up your hand. You have five fingers, so
right.
Romans 4, five verses. Okay.
Okay.
And you need to study that. Actually, there's more than that in there. You can read, but those verses right there will clearly teach that works have no part of salvation.
Right. Okay.
And if he does affirm that, then he's a false convert and preaching a false gospel. And
yeah,
you need to tell him
fine.
That. You need to tell him to his face that he's a false convert and preaching a false gospel. And he's under the damnable judgment of God if he doesn't repent. He needs to hear this.
And
okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
You need to tell it to him. And a lot of people think that's too confrontational. If he's preaching a false gospel, you just matter-of-factly say, this is what the scripture says, here's what the gospel is. You can go to my website, karm.org, and you can look up verses on justification, and just verses on justification. You can read through it, and look up faith and works. And you might want to go to James, read up on James, get a little bit prepared, and you go talk to him. And if need be, if he says, no, you have to do works in order to be saved, you just tell him, okay, well, you're not a true convert, you're a false convert, and you believe in works righteousness, and you're under condemnation. And he'll say, you need to leave. I go, okay, fine. I need to tell you the truth. And you dust it, wipe the dust off your feet on your way out. Go ahead.
Okay. And my other quick question was, Matt, was when Jesus says to deny yourself, like I'm a born-again Christian, and I love the Lord, and I do everything that I can. But I do have, I'm well off, you know, I do have a fair bit of possessions and stuff. Is that a bad thing as a Christian, or is it?
We have a lot of what? A good bit of what?
Possessions, you know.
Oh, that's okay. Who cares? I don't care if you have possessions.
Okay.
You can have as many as you want. You'd be the richest guy in the world. Who cares? The issue is, what are you doing with those? Are you using your possessions and your things for the glory of God? Now, it's not to say that you can't have a fishing boat and you go out fishing because it's just relaxing. That's not a problem. But the idea is, what is the main goal? Okay. And ultimately, it's, you know, these things, there's legitimacy to having toys.
Yeah,
I don't have any toys. I have a fishing pole, and so you have toys that you go out and relax with. That's fine. Now you want to be exorbitant.
Okay.
You know, if you say, "Yeah, I'm going to buy my third boat because I like the color," that's too much. You know, if you can afford a third boat, you can afford to give that money to a ministry or to people who are, you know, starving and little old, you know, moms whose husbands have left them and they've got two kids and a broken car and they're doing whatever they can to survive. But I would love to have enough money to go to a mechanic's place and say, here's $1,000 a month and you got to give it to the ladies and whoever, you know, and help. You never know. You find out. Here, hold on, okay? Because I know there's more gathering. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
And folks, welcome back to Matt Slick Live. Let's get to Dave from Ontario, Canada. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Okay. Yeah, no, you're just summing up about, that verse. It was just where Jesus says to deny yourself and pick up your cross. I didn't know if that was something that was like material thing.
If he calls you to sell everything and follow him, then you sell everything and follow him. He'll put it upon your heart to do that, and you'd know it. But he might have given you the wealth, the riches, the whatever it is that you have for his glory. Now look, don't feel bad for having possessions.
Right.
Don't feel bad. It's okay to have possessions. What you have to make sure...
Don't worship them, right?
Don't worship them. Don't serve them. Don't let them get in the way of your relationship with Christ.
Okay.
If they do, then that's a problem, and you got to deal with it. And if you do have possessions, you know, you have toys, have fun. You know, you have that right. What you own belongs to you. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. As long as you put God first, right?
Yeah, God first. You know, and use what you have for His glory ultimately.
Okay.
But you got to have fun too. You got to have things. It's not a big deal. It's okay to have a nice car. It doesn't have to be an $80,000 car unless you're a kabillionaire and you got to represent that. So whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. You know, money's never really impressed me. And I don't care about people who got money. You got money, that's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I just sometimes feel guilty, but anyway. Yeah.
Why? For what? Is there a reason for you to feel guilty?
No. It's like you said, what you do with it, like you could share it. Like, I'm not a zillionaire. No. It's just sometimes you feel like, if you look at other people, third world countries and stuff, and you think like, I got too much stuff.
Well, then, if that's an issue, then look into supporting something.
Charity and that,
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thanks a million, Matt.
Sure, man. A million bucks. Okay, buddy. God bless.
I'll start donating to Carm. Okay.
All right, man. Okay. God bless.
Yeah. Take care.
Yeah, bye. You too. Thanks. All right. That was Dave from Ontario. Let's get to Dave from Dallas. Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. I was going to ask you a question on evolution, but I think that would take too long.
Well, what's your question anyway?
Stick to theology.
You can ask whatever you want.
Well, can I ask you a theological question instead?
Sure.
It may take quicker. Because
that's fine.
Epigenetics is going to take a while. Oh. I've talked to theists before, and I've never got an answer to this. When they say something can't come from nothing,
mm-hmm.
I always ask them, what is nothing? And they just tell me what it's not. They never tell me what nothing is.
Well, I can tell you what it is. I can do exactly what.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing is what rocks think of.
You're telling me. Okay.
You want to know what it is? I'm telling you, it's what rocks think of. So there you go. Okay. Nothingness doesn't have any properties, so nothing can be used to describe nothingness. There are no properties of nothingness. We use the word nothing to designate something that conceptually has no existence. So it's kind of a trick. Okay.
It's conceptual, and that's what I think even the concept of God is. It's just conceptual.
No, it's not. Without God, nothing would exist. And in three areas of philosophical importance, epistemology, how you know things, our existence, as well as rationality, you cannot, as an atheist, if you're an atheist, you cannot defend any of those from the atheist perspective as being the necessary foundations for anything.
Wait, you just said nothing... Without God, nothing would exist.
That's correct.
You're saying nothing exists?
I would say if God didn't exist, nothing would exist.
Okay, so you're saying nothing has an existence.
Well, take your right hand and put it in front of your face. Okay?
I'm being serious, Matt.
I'm being serious. Take your right hand and put it in front of your face.
I'm being serious.
Why not?
You're attributing... You're saying nothing has an existence.
No, I'm not. You didn't hear what I said.
You just said nothing. You said nothing would.
How many times have I got to say the same thing to you? I said no, that's not what I'm saying. And you keep arguing with me about what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What is wrong that you have to argue like that?
You just said that without God, nothing would exist.
Yeah, there would be nothing in existence. Don't you understand what the phrase means? I'm not saying there would be the existence of something. I'm not saying there'd be the existence of something called nothing. Without God, there would be nothing existing. Okay?
You're giving nothing an identity as.
Okay, we're going to move along, and this guy needs to practice thinking on his feet, particularly about a topic like that. And what we call that on the internet, folks, is a troll. All right, Charlie from North Carolina. Hey, Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Just dealing with the atheistic trolls. They surface every now and then, play games. So what do you got, Charlie? What's up, man?
Actually, Well, real quick, actually, that guy calls you all the time with a different name. Like, I know the voice. He calls you with a different name and then tries to catch you and stuff.
He doesn't understand the issues. When I give him, I give him an answer, I'm two steps ahead of him because I understand what atheists do. I have a lot of dialogue with him pretty constantly, and I give him an answer. And he's just, he doesn't. Oh, you're saying nothing exists? No, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Yeah, give me a break. Next. Not going to be like that.
Well, if God, I'll just say real quick, and then I'll do my question. If God is outside of this universe and created the universe, which is to say he's not in a different realm, and he created this nothing, he's from an outside realm or a different
universe. I wouldn't go there. I would not go there like that.
Okay.
Because there's logical problems with outside this realm. What do you mean, and how do you know? What does it mean for God to be outside the universe because he's inside as well? What does it mean? Is inside or outside of time? We don't know. So these kind of statements are just rot with problems. And I recommend that Christians not use those terms because they can't define what they mean. And because you can't define what they actually mean, you can't base arguments upon things you can't define. So when people, for example, say God's outside of time, I say, what does that mean? And Christians say, well, I don't know. Well, then why are you saying he is outside of time if you have no idea what that actually means? And it's just a logical problem.
Yeah.
I try and tell Christians, I understand what you're trying to do, but that's not a good way to do it. God is inside of our time reference because Jesus became one of us. Yet he's before the universe existed. And we don't know how time relates to his essence and nature, so we shouldn't go beyond what the scriptures teach or what logic requires. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, what's your question,
Matt? Real quick, I know. Mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time. I ran across a book the other day. Actually, two books. I'm trying to remember, and I wanted to get your opinion on them. Okay. I've only read a couple chapters of one of them, and I haven't seen anything blasphemous or anything. And it's the first book of Adam and Eve, and then I think Treasures of the Cave. So I just wanted to get you.
First book of Adam and Eve. Don't trust it. I don't know what the other one is. I've heard about stuff like this, that there's these supposed to be books from Adam and Eve or before, all this time. Just dismiss them. They don't have the authority of Scripture or the approval of Christ himself. The oldest book that we're going to go with that deals with Adam and Eve is the book of Genesis. Okay? So just stick with that. And if you want primary evidence that's inspired, go to the Word of God. And what we have here in a lot of areas is the enemy, Satan, seeking to dilute the truth of God's word by injecting various false teachings through people throughout time, trying to make it sound as though it's official. And the only way to know what the truth is to study the truth. Okay?
Yeah, Matt, the only thing I would say real quick to that is I kind of agree with you when I said I didn't see things that it says always, look and proof the Bible and everything. There was two things in there that I didn't think were right. One of them was in the book. First of all, they said that Adam and Eve committed suicide and then God put them back to life. And then the other one was
ridiculous.
That he said he would send a savior 500 days, which is 5,500 years. So right there, they're giving a time when the Bible tells us that no man knows the time or the day.
That's return. Hold on. That's in reference to the return of Christ, not the arrival of him the first time. So look,
the book of
Adam and Eve is bad. Just dismiss it. If you have a cult library and false doctrine library, it would go in that section. Okay, that's what I have. I have bookshelves of false books and teachings, and that's what they're for. Okay, buddy?
Okay.
All right,
Matt, thank you.
Okay, God bless. All right, let's get over to Marty from Iowa. Hey, Marty, how are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. How are you?
By God's grace, we got about 3 minutes. What's up?
Well, I have a question for you. Earlier, John had called and talked about muscle testing and you had said that it was mysticism or something like that.
Well, the way he represented it.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted you to just see, my wife and I have some health problems, and we both have had muscle testing done by a really, really good Christian guy.
Okay.
And I just wanted your take on
There's a lot of sharp sounds coming through the thing. I don't know what's going on, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted your take on muscle testing, if you know more about it than...
No, that's the first I'd heard of it was today.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I would suggest that, you know, that people that are doing this type of testing...
Hold on a second. I don't know what it is, and so I would rather me do an analysis of it first. You know, I'm doing a little bit of research right now, and it's, you know, concomitant or similar with kinesiology, energy pathways, and things like that, which
can
be Eastern mysticism oriented and could have problems. Okay, so I need to do...
I understand. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let me do some research on it. All right.
Yeah. Can I send you some info on a guy that we use?
Yeah, yeah. Go
all
to
right,
the bottom,
I'll
bottom
email
of website and email me. Yeah,
we'll do.
Fine. Check it out.
That'd be great. Thanks, Matt. Hey, I really enjoy your show, and I think that what you're doing is awesome.
Well, thanks, man. Praise God. Appreciate that.
Yep. Okay. You have a good night. Thank you so much.
You too. God bless. All right. Let's get over to Kevin from Washington. Hey, Kevin. Welcome to the show. We got about a minute and a half. What's up, man?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Matt. I was just wondering what you thought of 1 Timothy 4:9-10.
Oh, I think it's good.
How would you interpret that?
Which part?
For the statement, for this labor we strive.
Which part? Because there's a lot
there.
The Savior
of all men, especially.
Especially believers. Jesus came.
Yeah.
Okay, since we don't have much time, let me go quickly. Jesus was covenantally sent only to the house of Israel. He was not sent to the whole world. That's Matthew 15:24. The Jews broke the covenant with God regarding the Messiah, so we the Gentiles are grafted in. Hence, he's the Savior of all men, of all people, not just the Jews, but especially of the believers, of those who are actually given the ability to believe, Philippians 1:29. So he's not the Savior of all people because there are people in hell. He's not their Savior if they're in hell. So what this is talking about is a generic, he's a Savior of all people, of all kinds of people, and all over the world. But he's not saving people from damnation who are damned. Otherwise, he wouldn't be their Savior if he had. See?
Well, yeah, I mean, you die in your judgment. But
yeah.
Okay, those, okay. All right.
So those people in hell, I'll say, how does he the Savior of those in hell? Oops, I guess we lost him. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what he said. Maybe he called me some of the devil. To ask. I don't know. He said it hung up, so who knows what that means. Anyway, hey, hey, folks, by his grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great day, okay? God bless.